in the limelight.
The campaign is on for Syrian national forces to retake the last remaining redoubt of militants in northwestern Idlib province. That might explain why the New York Times was prompted to publish a 5,000-word article based on flimsy anti-Syrian propaganda. Smearing Syria's Victory is the title of an interesting article in this regard by Finian Cunningham. Finian Cunningham has written extensively on international affairs for The Mirror, The Irish Times and The Independent. Stay with us for more. It is the Damascus government's sovereign right to recover all of its national territory. Yet Western media are again attempting to spin another Aleppo-style onslaught to discredit the Syrian army from its ultimate task. Russia blocked the discussion at the United Nations Security Council on the grounds that Western powers were traducing the Idlib military operations as a criminal violation against innocent-sounding militants. Most of the terrorists or militants holding out in Idlib province are foreign-backed mercenaries affiliated with the internationally proscribed terrorist groups such as Al-Nusra Front and Daesh or ISIS. At this critical juncture, along comes a suspicious New York Times article published on 11th of May, headlined, "Inside Syria's Secret Torture Prisons, How Assad Crushed Dissent." To be sure, the article is a rerun of a tired old story dating from 2014, when several Western media outlets had back then published sensational claims alleging a barbaric prison, torture and execution system overseen by Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. Strangely, the New York Times seems to be the only Western media outlet still pushing the story with its recent update, whilst other media have left it behind. The anomaly could be because the original torture story has since been convincingly debunked by several independent researchers. The main source for Western media claims was a mysterious alleged Syrian military police defector named Caesar. Caesar was supposed to be a photographer working for Syrian military police, who smuggled out tens of thousands of images purportedly showing how detainees were tortured, starved, and beaten to death, among other horrors. The trouble is that Caesar's identity has never been verified, even though he has appeared incognito in front of the US Congress to testify against the Syrian government. It has also been demonstrated that many of the photographs he allegedly smuggled out of Syria are either fakes or actually illustrate the opposite of what he and the Western media are claiming, namely that at least half of the victims were members of the Syrian state security forces or victims of the war. Researchers like Rick Sterling, Tim Hayward and Adam Larson and Tim Anderson have concluded that the so-called Caesar photographs are unreliable, if not, more sinisterly, a compilation of Western intelligent agitpro. The New York Times, however, persists in referencing the Caesar photographs as bona fide to form the basis of its latest article. It also cites supposed testimony from former detainees who had allegedly been held in Syrian government-run prisons, primarily Syed Naya prison near Damascus. The New York Times also published what it claims are internal government memos acknowledging repressive practices. How do we know the memos are not forgeries? Again, the trouble is that the so-called evidence is unverifiable and based on uncorroborated claims made by political opponents of President Bashar al-Assad. Paul Larudi, who chairs the Syrian Solidarity Movement based in California, United States, says the New York Times article is aimed at smearing the Syrian government and justifying further aggression against the Arab country. Larudi said the Caesar photographs and said Naya prison information is old news that has previously been shown to be at minimum not credible and at worst totally false. Much of the cited evidence is based on flimsy political bias and uncorroborated testimony. Paul Larudi goes further to contend that the aim is to justify more US prison intervention in Syria, or at least reversing President Donald Trump's declared policy of withdrawing the 2,000 American troops from Syria. The New York Times piece is clearly timed to build public support for further US military intervention in Syria. And the Syrian Arab Army begins its slow recovery of the remaining territory that is legally Syria's, but is still under the control of foreign and foreign-paid mercenary and terrorist forces. That strategic US military agenda may be plausible. In any case, there appears to be other political motives behind the New York Times' attempt at smearing. Note how the New York Times is attributing the Syrian state victory to the use of torture and repression, rather than to the courage and tenacity of Syrian government soldiers, who rolled back a foreign-backed army. That amounts to a cheap shot at smearing the victors, including allies. Another swipe from the New York Times. Now, even as the war winds down, the world's attention fades and countries start to normalize their relations with Syria, the pace of new arrests, torture and execution is increasing. Based on uncorroborated claims of increasing torture and execution, the New York Times, the paper of record, appears to be trying to ensure Syria remains a pariah state beyond the pale of redemption for normalized relations with the rest of the world. Such an outcast status would augment US and other NATO government agenda of refusing to allow international reconstruction aid for war-torn Syria. Still another scurrilous swipe from the New York Times. Kidnappings and killings by Daesh terrorists captured more attention in the West, but the Syrian prison system has vacuumed up many more times the number of people detained by Daesh in Syria. So, here we have the New York Times attempting to criminalize the Syrian state forces as somehow worse than foreign-backed, head-chopping Daesh terrorists who had been infiltrated into Syria by America's CIA and other NATO military intelligence to run amok in the country for Western-backed regime change. That criminal war of regime change was defeated by the heroic resistance of the Syrian people, their political leadership and national army, along with the principled support of Russia, Iran, and Lebanon's Hezbollah movement. Western media, like the New York Times, long sought to obscure or justify the US-backed criminal war with outright lies, such as describing the conflict as a pro-democracy revolt in Syria. Even in ignominious defeat, the New York Times just can't help trying one more time to smear Syria from its grave of journalism.